Now, we're listening back to some stories that we believe really highlight what makes WBUR special. You just heard two of them, very powerful stories about the almost unimaginable challenges people in our community have faced. And as Radio Boston grows, we will not flinch from bringing you more of those stories. But as our staff could probably tell you, I'm always harping about all of the goals we have for this show. And one of them is to range across the entire landscape of human experience. So that means we like to have fun, too. We like to be wowed. We like to laugh and say, "That was cool," as much as we can. And that's exactly what happened in our special series when we went behind the scenes of the movie The Martian. Again, this being Boston, we didn't actually have to look very far to find a real scientist who studies Mars and an actual astronaut who'd been in space. Here's an excerpt of that conversation where MIT astrophysicist Michael Hecht and astronaut Jeffrey Hoffman helped us fact-check the movie. I truly love my job. This is so great. All right, so let me first ask you, if there were an Oscar for most scientifically accurate film, would The Martian be in the running?
I'd say it was pretty good, not perfect. I'd give it a B on a rating scale. They did a really good job in most things. There were a few things, for instance, that scene at the end where Matt Damon pokes a hole in his glove so that he can propel himself over.
Hold that thought, actually, okay. Jeff Hoffman, if you could, because we have that scene here queued up. Now,
well, I have to say, that was bogus. So I'll just say that before you play the
spoiler,
scene.
Spoiler, it's bogus.
Just so that people know what's coming.
All right, so this is a scene where Matt Damon, who plays Mark Watney, he's in orbit in the Mars Ascent vehicle, but too low.
Close, but not close enough.
So he can't reach the Hermes spaceship, and this is his solution. So let's listen.
I could find something sharp in here and poke a hole in the glove of my EVA suit. I could use the escaping air as a thruster.
And fly towards you. It would be easy to control because it'd be on my arm.
I can't see you having any control if you did that. You'd be eyeballing the intercept using a thrust vector you can barely control.
Yes. Those are all very good points. But consider this. I'd get to fly around like Iron Man.
Wouldn't he also
Commander?
Be dead?
Let's go Iron Man.
Oh, let's go Iron Man.
That's a very cool concept. On the very first U.S. spacewalk, Ed White had a little reaction control gun, which he held in his hand to try to control himself.
But that was like a separate thruster that he held in his hand.
But he had a lot more control than Matt Damon would have had with a hole in his glove, and it was totally out of control. So... as I say, bogus. But it's a movie, as you say. Yeah. It's a movie.
Let me ask Professor Hecht here a question, because get us back to this point. This is like a major plot point in the movie that, Matt Damon or Mark Watney is a botanist. He's going to grow food to help him survive on Mars. The way they show it in the film, is there any aspect of it that's close to scientifically accurate?
Well, I think most of it is actually remarkably close. I'm not sure I even agree with Jeff in terms of the reaction to the Iron Man scene, only for a different reason.
Oh, okay.
Not because it's not correct. It isn't correct. But I love it when a film finds a way to slip in a little bit of education. And if they just got across the idea of action and reaction in space, that's a good thing. And, they simplified it a little bit to make it not physical. I would say the same thing with growing plants. Jay, basically, yes, you certainly could grow plants on Mars more or less the way he talks about it. Would it be edible? There are some toxicity issues. In my mind, I'll let that sort of thing slip in the cause of artistic license. I'll tell you what I wouldn't, though,
okay.
What I wouldn't let slip. The only part of the film, and it wasn't so much the book that bothered me, Mars is my second favorite planet. It's a beautiful place. It's a beautiful, stark desert landscape with puffy blue clouds and a pink sky, and it's familiar, yet it's foreign. And it's hostile in many ways, but one thing you can't accuse it of is having a hostile weather. It has gentle breezes that can lift dust to great heights, but wouldn't knock over a lawn chair.
Really? And, I mean, a giant storm is what's the premise of the entire film.
And actually, NASA, I've spoken with some friends at NASA who collaborated with and tried to help out the Martian to make it as accurately as possible. And they tried to come up with alternate scenarios that would force the evacuation from the surface of Mars. Unfortunately, none of them turned out to be as cinematographically impressive as the dust storm, and so the movie stayed with the dust storm. But as we say, it's a movie.
Now, if I can, the other piece of this that was very realistic is the technology that enabled Mark Watney, Matt Damon, to survive to begin with was the ability to take Martian carbon dioxide and turn it into oxygen, whether it was for breathing or for inflating its habitat or for burning the fuel that would get that MAV off the surface. That technology is very similar to the technology that Jeff and I have been developing for the Mars 2020 mission. We are to have Matt Damon as a spokesman for our experiment. Who can claim that?
So you guys bring up a point which leads me to one last clip that I want to play from the movie. And it's about sort of not just in terms of scientific facts, but sort of the spirit of science that is in this film, because it seems like so much science fiction is all about science going wrong, right? Like dystopian scientific futures. But in The Martian, I feel like there's a lot of scenes or subtext here where, you know, the astronauts are basically saying how much they love the idea of exploration, how much they want to further and love science. And in fact, there's even a scene where Mark Watney, Matt Damon again, asks his commander to tell his parents about his journey, of course, if something happens to him. And he says something really moving, and here's what he says.
Tell them I love what I do. And I'm really good at it. I'm dying for something big and beautiful. And greater than me. Tell them I said I can live with that.
So, I mean, was that meaningful to you?
Oh, very, very deeply. I mean, you know, as an astronaut, I had to deal with that. I mean, you're strapping yourself on top of 4.5 million pounds of high explosives
that you
every
can't
time
turn
you're
off.
Ready to go into
yeah.
space. But when we were getting up ready on my fourth mission to go and rescue the Hubble Space Telescope, which was probably the most significant of all my missions, you know, the realization that this is worth the risk. This is something that's important to do. It's going to make a big difference to science, to people all over the world. And as it turned out, it did. I mean, the Hubble Telescope has been NASA's greatest scientific success. So I very much resonate with what Matt Damon said there.
That's MIT's Jeffrey Hoffman and Michael Hecht in our special series, Oscar on Mars. And we wanted to end with that excerpt because right at the end of that conversation there, when Hoffman was describing the profound emotion he has felt in the blackness of space, right there, he's describing how really there's no hard and fast boundary between intellect and emotion, between the news out there and our personal lives in here. Well, that, in a nutshell, is why we're privileged to work on this show, to have you as listeners, and to spend an hour together every day. We hope you feel the same way, too. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.